Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. Today, once again, we will be listening to Metal Raps, a discussion by myself, Mitch Joel, and Mitch LaFon on Guns N' Roses, all the current rumors, and there's some other stuff in there too. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you for supporting this podcast. Please use our Amazon links to buy all your holiday gifts on Amazon. You just go to talkingmetal.com and then link over to Amazon. Nothing costs any more than it normally would. And you just, you know, go about making all your purchases as you normally would on Amazon. We get a little kickback on that, and it definitely helps what we do here. So there you go. And here we go with Metal Raps. Thanks.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode number 23 of Metal Raps. My name is Mitch Joel, and as always, we are joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel. Mark, how are you?
Good, Mitch. How you doing?
Good, thanks. And of course, there's one-on-one with Mitch LaFon's Mitch LaFon.
Yes, yes. Here I am. Good day, everybody.
I like my pause between the double Mitch LaFon's. It makes me feel important.
Oh, there's a lot of Mitch going on in this. In every episode.
There's a whole lot of Mitch always. Yeah. So I you know, we have to bring forward the conversation that I'm curious to have because I haven't been paying attention to it based off of my historic comments on the event, but the boiling pot of water is on the stove, and that boiling pot of water is Guns N' Roses, and it is coming beyond the simmer now to a boil that I guess word on the street is that Axl and Slash have come back together and are friends or talking. There is sentiment that I've heard rumblings from Gilby Clark saying he's heard nothing of this. Yet there are a lot of rumors. So I'm going to throw it over to Mark, I guess, to update us on what we know, what we don't know, and what I'm probably going to get quite angry at some point.
Well, I think what we know is there have been a number of things that have been reported about Axl and Slash has confirmed this. He seemed hesitant at first, but they're back. They're talking, and the first sign of this was way back when there had been problems with Guns N' Roses releasing videos, and a friend at VH1 had confirmed to me that they had aired this Guns N' Roses concert with the new Guns, Bumblefoot and the guys, and it was supposed to air over and over again, but it only aired once, and then it was pulled off because Slash and his team had put a stop to it because of publishing rights and stuff like that. I think you can go way back to the middle of last year, the first sign that we saw that maybe things were at least legally better between the two was that they released this Appetite for Democracy DVD. It came out, and that kind of greenlit that Slash had given the okay for that to come out. And there's just been dozens of things since then, including Slash eventually confirming to Charlie Rose that they are on good terms again. And even since then, it seems like they're not only on good terms, they've at least have spoken, and now there is what I would call nothing confirmed, I guess, rumors, but there's a lot of support for these rumors that there could potentially be a reunion between at least Slash and Axl and possibly Duff, you know, in some sort of live setting. Right, Mitch?
That's what I heard. I've heard, listen, this is all hearsay and rumors, but I'm getting it wild and furious on every corner. I've heard from different promoters around the world that a show has been offered in, you know, Oslo, Norway, and I've heard about, you know, that festival in California and other things. And then, of course, I've heard that it'll be Axl, Slash, and Duff with Richard Fortus and Frank Ferrer. And then I've heard it's been, you know, Gilby's. It's wild and furious, and it just seems as though it's not going to stop. Now, Slash's tour is ending at the end of November, and I'm told that after the tour is over, that's when the announcement's going to come. So, who knows, right? The other thing I've heard is that it is going to be festivals this year for 2016, and then in 2017, when we have Appetite for Destruction's 30th anniversary, it is going to head into the arenas and be a 30th anniversary tour. So it's tough to sort of separate the wheat from the chaff, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no concrete evidence. I mean, on November 9th, we had the Guns N' Roses Twitter account, the official Twitter account, reported, as all these rumors are blowing up on all these blogs and websites, you know, whatever happened to no news is good news. So who knows what the hell that means. And, you know,
and don't forget Duff's friend, Duff's wife's friend, who went on the TMZ.
Brandy Gainville, I think her name is, who seems completely drunk, her boobs literally hanging out of her dress.
Post red carpet event or something. Yeah, she's McKagan's wife with one of her friends, and she's basically rambling on about Guns N' Roses is back. Duff's busy with Guns N' Roses. There were these sort of weird comments that really sort of was the one for me, believe it or not, out of all this nonsense. It was that, when I heard that, where I was like, yeah, it's totally happening, because you could even see the way Duff McKagan's wife sort of reacts to her, like, that sort of, you know, don't necessarily say something. And why? Where would that come from, right? If Duff has been out of Guns for so long and he's in Velvet Revolver, all the other stuff he's doing, how would that come out so randomly? So that one to me really felt like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to add to the Duff thing before we get away from it. Duff, it was either on his Facebook page or Twitter. I think it was his Twitter. He posted a picture of him last week of him playing bass in front of like a stereo or something.
It's like a keyboard, yeah.
Right. And if you look to the bottom, I guess, left-hand corner, there was a picture of the Guns N' Roses guys from, like, you know, like 1987 or something. And so, of course, you know, the conspiracy theorists online are all like, oh, look, he's practicing in front of a GNR picture. It's got to mean something. So they're either really messing with us just for the fun of it, or they're dropping these little hints.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that tweet was that, you know, then that was followed up. I guess right before or right after the Guns N' Roses? I think that was like a day after the Guns N' Roses account had posted no news is good news, ?
Right. And then, of course, you got Nikki Sixx out there and Scott Whelan, and there's just a lot. You
know, yeah. The thing I would say is there seems to be more evidence to support these rumors now than in the past. But I was at the first show they'd played in many years. I guess it was back in 2006, Bumblefoot's first show in New York. And I was in the audience at that show. And even right up until the time they went on stage that night, you know, after having not played for 4 years or something before that, it was rumored that Slash was in the band, and Metal Sludge was reporting that Guns N' Roses were courting him and they were trying to get things out, and he would be back in the band for the New York shows. And there were all these rumors, and I actually started to believe them back at that time. And even bigger outlets were reporting that, hey, this might be happening, Slash might be back, and it just never happened. So I'm very hesitant to to believe it until I hear it. I find it the evidence against it, in my opinion, is the Guns N' Roses site is sitting there dead, still has pictures of Bumblefoot and DJ Ashba on it. And
right, but and it's been dead even when the band, even when DJ and Bumblefoot, they never really did anything with that site. I think they updated it once in 14 years.
Yeah, well, it was more than that, but yeah, it wasn't as much as a lot of bands. And the other evidence is that Slash has, you know, announced that he's got a new record coming out next year. He has told this Vicki Hamilton that the reunion isn't happening. I know for a fact from somebody inside the camp that as of a month ago, nothing was a done deal. It was still, everything was in transition. So I don't know. I'm just hesitant to believe these rumors this time around until we know for sure. And I'm hearing other podcasts, other blogs talk about this like this is fact that they're going to tour with Duff and Slash again. And I think it's far from fact at this point.
If I go back historically and think about this band, and I want to sort of set this up so that people understand my position, because I can be quite sarcastic and sort of coy about the band. I want to be really clear. You know, Appetite for Destruction, 1987, fundamentally changed my life. Thought it was one of the greatest albums ever. To me, it was the perfect iteration from that sort of hair metal into music that was more me, that's more street and dirty and fighting type of vibe. I even liked GNR Lies. I felt like Use Your Illusion was this massive disappointment coming out of what the band was. And I coupled that not just with the fact that I felt it was two albums and just a lot of music and this sort of like grandiose away from that sort of street hitting group of guys that I just sort of always fell in love with. I felt like their antics post that weren't punk. It was just sort of like a lack of anything, care for their audience, care for their fans. The music was grandiose. People were leaving. People couldn't be there anymore. If this band is going to go back and reclaim everything or anything, to me, it's about, I feel at least, it's about reclaiming that Appetite era and not the Use Your Illusion stuff. And that's just me, right? Everyone's got their own opinion to this sort of thing.
Right.
And if we live in a world right now where Izzy Stradlin is in good health, Steven Adler, I'll put a question mark next to it, it's hard to really tell. And you've got Slash, Axl, and Duff. And again, we talked about this with Bill Ward and Black Sabbath. I will have a really hard time going forward with this if they're going to call this a Guns N' Roses reunion, if it's just Slash, Axl, and Duff and not at the very least Izzy. I'm going to struggle with it.
Well, I think you'd see Clark, Izzy, but you'd see Izzy involved, whether it's at every show or, you know, he like, I mean, Axl always brings Izzy, not always, but almost every tour that Guns N' Roses does, Izzy will appear, you know, he'll be okay for the next week. He's playing with him in Europe. And, you know, I've seen Izzy come on stage with Guns N' Roses, the more modern Guns N' Roses, if you will, numerous times. I mean, Izzy is a guy who I could see appearing on stage with the band. However, I if this were to happen, I don't know if he would be a permanent fixture on stage. I mean, maybe they would do three guitar players, you know, maybe they'd have Fortis. I mean, would you like that? Fortis, Slash, and
no, and that's my point, right? Like I felt all of those additions, and even seeing people like Dizzy Reed, and then seeing, and again, I love Matt Sorum, and I really do love Gilby Clark. I just felt they brought a different energy to the band that was way more commercially pop rock oriented versus what I really feel passionate about for Guns N' Roses. And again, it's just a personal thing. And if you're going to call this thing that it is, I don't know if you can do this with 3 out of 5. I just don't. Because for all intents and purposes, that is what we got with Chinese Democracy. Or are we saying, and this is a question for we'll start with you, Mitch, is it a reunion if it's just Axl and Slash? And does anything else matter? Mitch?
Yeah, it is. You know, listen, it's like Keith Richards and Mick Jagger or Gene and Paul or Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. It really is only those two that matter. And I think Duff is a cherry on top, quite frankly. I really don't think you need anything else other than Slash and Axel. That's what people are going to buy the tickets for. They're not going to buy the tickets for the other stuff. So,
yeah, I think I think there are some, purists like yourself, some of us, hardcore music junkies and stuff. But I think the average soccer mom and the average high school kid who has heard about this legendary band just wants to see the guy with the top hat on stage, and if the tall guy with blonde hair is there too playing bass, that's cool. That's like Mitch said, that's an added bonus. I think
the circus is coming to town, eh, Mark?
Yeah, right. I do think
and we like the circus.
If this were to happen and they were to keep Fortis there and they were to keep Frank Frere there, which there's absolutely no evidence to the fact that this is happening, except for rumors. But if they were to do that, it would make a lot of sense because in Axel's mind, it justifies the Chinese democracy era. And it isn't, we're scrapping everything we did and we're getting back, the old band back together. It's, well, Duff has done a little tour with Guns N' Roses already. He's kind of, been in the fold in recent years. And now Slash is going to come back into the fold and maybe even play. I mean, can you imagine they play Chinese Democracy, a Chinese Democracy song?
It ain't happening. That's not going to
happen. That would happen. I think that
no
that
way.
Would be.
Yeah, I think that might happen.
You're clowning on me now.
No, Slash said he likes the record. Duff likes the record. I think that would be.
And Duff has played those songs, by the way.
Yeah, Duff's already done it. Yeah, exactly, Mitch. Yeah, and I think I don't think you're going to see more than one or two Chinese Democracy songs in the set if this were to ever happen. But I could definitely see them doing like the song Chinese Democracy or something off of that record.
Where do you guys stand on Axel's ability to deliver? I mean, that was a big question mark from my understanding of all the stuff I read on the past tour and just performance basis, that people weren't even feeling a lot of backup singing, a lot of who knows if there's tape or not. I don't know. And I'm not judging. I'm just curious your perspective. My, as just sort of being omnipresent and hearing things, it was that Axel hasn't been that amazing lately. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, I think he has been. I mean, I've seen him dozens of times, and he has an off night here and there. And, sometimes it's raining and he comes out wearing some ridiculous outfit and he sounds terrible. The YouTube clips, really get blown out of proportion. But I think he sounds decent. I think he sounds better than Vince Neil does. I mean,
What? I'm going to submit
let's
this.
Let's set the bar a little higher than that.
Let's at least say Paul Stanley. but I'm going to submit this. I'm going to submit that the spectacle is going to far outweigh the actual performance. People are going to go see that and they're going to say, oh, it's the Guns N' Roses guys. And they're going to say, how were they? And they're just going to go, it was the Guns N' Roses guys. And that's pretty much what we're going to get. I don't think, until they get to a second tour or a third tour or an album, then people would say, oh boy, yeah, but the first tour right out of the box, I don't think it matters. But that said, I do think Axel can deliver. So,
yeah, I think Axel has incredibly strong nights. You only hear about the bad nights, but I really think, and there was this thing I think, with Fortis a while back saying, oh yeah, we are working on new material. We're recording a song that Slash wrote with Axel back in the day, and we're recording that. I find that real curious. That maybe there'll be new material coming out.
There has to be. You have to have something to support, and also something to monetize. The ticket sales are nice, but if you have a CD at the merch booth that you can sell for $20, that only costs you a buck to make.
They could do a remaster, though. They could pull it off. It's Guns N' Roses.
By the way, maybe
I don't necessarily feel like they need new material.
Maybe we've got it all
but
wrong.
But I do think it's there. I mean, Axel seems to always have trouble releasing new material, or at least, you know, finalizing it and getting it out there. I mean, there's been stories that he wasn't even ready to release Chinese Democracy, and they basically just forced him to, which is why it finally came out. But, you know,
the lawyer bills were getting a little high. But by the way, have you considered that we got it all wrong? You've got Slash, Duff, two other guys, and a singer. Maybe Axl is joining Velvet Revolver.
Exactly. I'm going to put it out there, guys. I said it before. I'll say it again. Stadium I want tour? To see Slash, Axl, Duff, and Izzy. You might get a foot of mine in the stadium / arena if this actually happens. That's what I'm going to say. I'll also put it out there that I really don't care if there's new material or not. I've been so heavily let down over the past decades with these bands putting on new material that is not that great. So I'm fine with them. I just want to see them pull it together, and I want to see a real rock show. And I know you're talking about spectacle over performance. And again, call me a purist. I want to see performance.
Oh, so before you wrap up, guys. But it doesn't matter. And quickly say, I'll say, I want to see Izzy there, but I really feel that he's just happy retired. I don't think it's a question of money. I don't think it's a question of desire. I think he just wants to live where, I think he lives in Arizona or something. I think he just wants to stay there and, you know, get the newspaper in the morning and a cup of coffee and not be bothered with the business. So
I think music is magic, and there's something about
when
he plays with Slash that I just – and I love Gilby that I just didn't get from Gilby.
I agree. I agree fully that there's a magic with Izzy, but I just don't think Izzy wants to. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, because if we got 4 out of 5, hallelujah.
How can he not, though, when you're looking at what kind of money would be involved in this? I mean,
I just don't think he ever cared about the money. Look when he left the band at, what, in 89 or 90?
Before Illusion.
Yeah, I mean, he left on their apex when they were about to make millions.
Well, he did play on those records, but yeah.
Okay,
but that was
a pretty lucrative tour, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he's – I just don't think he's in it for the money. I think he's maybe more spiritual or more zen about it, and he just wants to be this free spirit.
Let's see what happens. Before we wrap up, guys, let's talk about what we've been listening to. I'll throw it over to you, Mitch. What's been going on?
Oh, lots of good stuff. A band called Imperial State Electric, which is former guys from the Helicopters. The new album is Honk Machine. And then I treated myself. The Scorpion 50th Anniversary Deluxe Edition Remasters. For some reason, they only came
out. I saw that on Facebook. I saw the pictures and I got a little tinge of jealousy, I have to say.
Yeah, you know, they only came out in Germany and the UK and Japan. And I don't know why they're not doing them in North America. You think that, you know, they would sell. But anyway, I bought them from Japan, actually. They are just phenomenal. There's bonus material up the wazoo on each disc. I have a DVD now of Tokyo 1979, all cleaned up, looking good, sounding great. I mean, it cost me $100 for the 4 CDs, but still.
I was going to ask. That was my next question, because you talk about ordering CDs from Japan. And I remember back all in the day, that was a very expensive thing to do. Most people are downloading music or streaming it. What does it cost to grab a CD from Japan? Mitch LaFon.
You know, simply, like the Honk Machine, the Imperial State Electric, I bought it from Japan, has bonus tracks and the whole thing. To get it shipped to Canada was only about 30 Canadian. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, it was like,
inspired by you, Mitch. I actually made 2 purchases from Japan recently. The Iron Maiden, Book of Souls, Japan version, and also a older Mustache record with some additional tracks on it.
Was that from CD Japan or from HMV Japan? Which one did you use?
I believe it was HMV Japan.
Yeah, you see? So it's not that bad.
It was about 40 each.
That's still not bad. Yeah. I'm going to say that's not bad. I'm not jaw-dropped here. I think that's fair.
Well, you know, I got these 4 Scorpions. There's 8 of them. The other 4 come out in December in Japan for some reason. But the 4 here are double disc with DVD, all this bonus material, a gatefold, yada yada booklet. And it was $100 for the 4 delivered to my door, which is not bad at all.
I'm going to say not bad. Yeah, I'm good with that.
That's about $25 each. That's you know, reasonable.
That's reasonable. Mark, what have you been listening to?
You know, back in 2013, this new wave of British heavy metal band, old school band from the early 80s, returned. They're called Satan, and they put out
an
awesome record in 2013, Life Sentence. And they are back now with a brand new record called Atom by Atom. It is, again, as good as Life Sentence, I think. And this band, who really was kind of just a side note on the British new wave of British heavy metal scene back in the day has really, you know, 30 some years later, has really stepped it up and is just delivering some great, awesome new music, straight ahead hard rock, old school metal sound, and not really doing much to update the sound, but the songs are just awesome. And highly recommend the band Satan, Atom by Atom, or their 2013 release, which is called Life Sentence. Great stuff. Band Failure, not metal, but they're back too, and they have a great new record out. The Heart is a Monster. That's Ken Andrews.
They were big in the 90s, right?
Yeah. I saw them open for Tool numerous times.
But what's going on at Mark's house, by the way? Failure, Satan. It's all dark and gloomy over there.
Oh, yeah, but Failure is like more, yeah, I mean, they're definitely gloomy, but they're almost more like, you know, alternative just gothic.
The band names themselves are somewhat depressing, but all right.
Yeah.
I've got an album that's been sort of stewing around in my playlist, and I've sort of reflected this week on how strange of a release it was, which is the new Winery Dogs, Hot Streak. Is it just me that this album came out and sort of like fell through the cracks? I mean, the last album came out and sort of moved and moved and moved and built momentum, and this is a really new album. It came out in a fairly recently. I don't know why I never played it. Yeah, I saved the album and sort of never got around to it and started listening. I was like, damn, this is a great. And I'm a bass player, love Billy Sheehan for sure. Big Dream Theater band, love Mike Portnoy. Can't get enough of Richie Kotzen, whether he was a shredder or even in Poison. Like, love them. So I don't know what happened to this album, and I feel like I'm the only one listening to it now.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I've had this conversation with a few people, and, you know, we were big fans of that self-titled Winery Dogs record. I thought it was like one of the best records of 2013.
Yeah,
I think I had it at number two that year. And I felt like the new record, the Hot Street record by the Winery Dogs, it had that great opening track, Oblivion. And then for me personally, and I'm hesitant to say this because I'm, you know, kind of friendly with Mike Portnoy and stuff, but it kind of, and Billy for that matter, it kind of, I don't know, it kind of goes south after that great first opening track, Oblivion. Then I feel like the hooks kind of drop off and the songwriting isn't quite what it was. The playing is still just incredible, but I feel like it almost feels like Oblivion should have been on the last record. And then because it's great, like that last record, it was solid all the way through. But it's interesting. Now that you're saying that, I feel like I need to go back and listen to the record again.
Yeah, it's a great. And again, I think I look at it from the perspective of, I'm sure these three guys got into the studio and wrote the album in a week because they just sort of, you know, like improvise and pull stuff together. But that's what I like about them. And I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, what happened? Like, did it? I'm just sort of in this weird space with them, but I really am loving the album. Last thing I want to mention before we dig out is Ardio, which has been my streaming service of choice, filed for bankruptcy. It looks like the Pandora people are going to be picking up some of their assets, but the service is shutting down. And I'm totally bummed out, because speaking of Winery Dogs, just the other week, most of the Richie Kotzen early day stuff got put up on there, and I was like going through this archive and all excited, and then I get this notification that it's going down. So I gotta switch over.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. Wow, that's interesting.
Spotify. Yeah, and it's bumming. Okay, so Spotify. So here's the thing, and I've Googled this, so don't just go Google it. I know. If anybody listening knows how we can take our playlists and favorites and actually really get them over to Spotify, all the things I've seen have not worked, shoot me an email, mitchjoel@gmail.com. I would love to have this resolved before Monday. It ain't happening.
Can you actually guys. That? Can you actually transfer them from provider
there
to provider?
There are hacks. There are hacks that you can export out and do. I mean, that's what I'm sort of seeing. Okay. It just none of it's worked for me. So yeah, I got the craziest thing is I literally had like a 200-hour playlist for all my metal stuff that I'm just devastated about now. So,
right. Well, I have Spotify. I love Spotify. I think it's a great service. You know, sometimes when I'm interviewing bands that I'm not familiar with, I head over there. It's all there. It's just very convenient. So
yeah, I'm also between Apple Music and Spotify because I'm not getting a clear distinction between the two. But again, I think that you're right, Mark. Maybe we should have a great conversation about streaming in an upcoming episode of Metal Raps.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you can always find me at @MitchJoel on Twitter or check out my bass playing podcast, which is Groove, the No Treble Podcast at notreble.com/podcast. Mark, where can people find you?
We'll point them to the main site today, which hosts this show and Talking Rock and One on One with Mitch LaFon and of course Talking Metal. That site is talkingmetal.com.
Mitch?
I am easy to find at Twitter at Mitch LaFon. I think that's my favorite place is to have people follow me right there on Twitter.
Awesome. And we will be back really soon with a brand new episode of Metal Raps. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you soon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering. So you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.